If you have your Bibles with you or grab one of the blue Bibles in the back of the pews, I'd invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And this evening we will read from Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 through 3 and Paul's commanded children to obey their parents. And you might think, oh, well, it's Father's Day, that's why Pastor Neil chose this text for this evening, but like most of my children, I actually forgot that it was Father's Day today, so that was not the reason. But before we hear God's word this evening, let us call upon Him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, the glorious news of our salvation is that You have adopted each and every one of us into Your family to be Your children. You have also blessed us with earthly fathers and mothers. For some of us, that has indeed been a felt blessing. For others, we've lost our parents or haven't had the greatest relationship with them. But I pray that You would teach each and every one of us, but especially those young children who are still in the homes and under the authority of their parents, that You would teach them how to obey their parents as a way of teaching them and teaching all of us how to obey You, how to love You, and how to love one another. So would You do that work within us by the power of Your word and Your spirit this evening. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord to you this evening from Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." This is the word of the Lord to us this evening. In Luke chapter 18, which I read last Sunday evening, Jesus displays His deep affection and desire for even the littlest of His creations to come to Him, as He clearly commands, "Let the children come to Me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." So as I preached last week, Christian parents, Christian churches, we are commanded to bring our children to Jesus. The kingdom belongs to them, and their king is calling them. They are members of the covenant community, and the blessings of the covenant belong to them. And as I preached this morning, the substance of this covenant of grace was revealed in God's promise to Abraham, which is fulfilled in Christ, that God would be Abraham's God, and Abraham would therefore belong to God. But the covenant promise took this form in Genesis 17:7, where the Lord says to Abraham, "And I will establish My covenant between Me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." So kids, this promise to Abraham, to God's people, is good news for you. To be born into the covenant community of faith is a great blessing and gift from God. And so it comes with many privileges, many advantages. But because it's a covenant, it also comes with responsibility. For to be legally part of the covenant community is not enough. You must yourselves embrace the covenant by faith. In other words, kids, your parents are commanded to bring you to Jesus by faith, but you are likewise specifically called to come to Jesus by faith. For the faith of your parents will not save you. You must believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation. Your physical birth will not save you. You must, as Jesus told Nicodemus, be born again of water and the Spirit. So kids, you are members of the covenant community of grace, but you must embrace the covenant by faith and walk before God in faithfulness. For as God gave glorious promises to Abraham, he likewise said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. He said, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. To say, yes, this is a covenant of grace, but to embrace this by faith is to walk in obedience to the Lord. Now, this isn't to say that you are saved by your obedience, because you are saved by Christ's obedience and sacrifice on your behalf. But your obedience is how you live by faith in Jesus. To believe Christ is to obey Christ. So as I said, being members of the covenant is a great blessing, but it is also a great responsibility. To have Jesus as your Savior is to have Jesus as your Lord. And so you must obey all that He commands. So this evening, I'm preaching to all of us. We all have to obey the Lord, but I especially want to preach to kids, young and old, who are still under the authority of their parents, to help you understand one of the primary ways that you obey Christ as a child and learn to live as a member of the covenant of grace. But before I get to Paul's command for children in Ephesians 6, I want to put this command in context for you. If you look back in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, you see Paul command, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And that command, be filled with the Spirit, is the primary command of this part of the letter. To be a Christian is to have God's Holy Spirit. So right off the bat, Paul is guarding any of us from trying to follow Christ by our own power and strength. You must obey, but your obedience is not your work. It is the work of God's Spirit in you. So when I talk a lot about obedience tonight and obeying your parents, and you think, well, that's really hard, remember that God has given you what you need to do what He commands you. What you are learning tonight, therefore, is what it looks like to be filled with God's Spirit. For Paul is telling all Christians, be filled with the Spirit, and then he begins to explain what that looks like. It looks like addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, of singing to the Lord and giving thanks. But in verse 21, you see that being filled with the Spirit includes submitting to those God has placed in authority over you. So submission is part of what it means to be Spirit-filled. To submit is to honor, it is to respect, and it is to obey those God has placed over you. So then Paul continues on to give specific examples of what this looks like, particularly in the home. Paul tells wives to submit to their husbands, servants to submit to their masters. But right between those two, you see Paul tells children to submit to or obey their parents. So kids, one of the primary ways that you show you have God's Spirit in you is by obeying your parents. Spirit-filled kids are obedient kids. So Paul says, children, obey your parents. You can see it right there in verse 1. So you know, I'm not making this rule up. And neither is Paul. For you notice in verse 2 that he says it a different way. Honor your father and your mother. Now that should sound very familiar to you, because it's one of the Ten Commandments. In fact, it's the fifth commandment. To obey your parents, then, is one way that you obey the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And notice Paul says, children, obey your parents. The fifth commandment includes the mom and the dad. So you don't get to pick which parent you honor and say, okay, I'll obey mom on Mother's Day. I'll obey dad on Father's Day. Every other day, it's just kind of a free-for-all. Whoever I like the best that day, I'll honor them. No, if mom tells you to clean your room, you clean it and don't wait to see what dad has to say. So what does it mean to honor your mom and dad? Well, John Calvin is very helpful here. He teaches that honor requires three things: reverence, obedience, and gratitude. Now, reverence for your parents doesn't mean you worship your mom and dad. That would be a bad thing to do. But it means you show them respect. Not because they always deserve it or because they are so wonderful, but because God has placed them in a position of authority over you. So you don't roll your eyes at them or make fun of them to your friends or talk back to them or argue with them or grumble against them, even when you don't like them or what they are telling you. Now, obedience is self-explanatory. It means you do what they tell you when they tell you. If they tell you stop jumping on the couch, you stop. If they tell you come to the table, you come to the table. If they tell you apologize to your sibling, you apologize to your sibling. If they tell you do your homework, you do your homework. It's a hard command, not because it's complicated. We just don't want to do it. And finally, gratitude means you're thankful for your parents and you appreciate all that they do for you. Because kids, you may not realize it, but your parents do sacrifice a lot for you. As one pastor said about parenting, it's joyful, but it's a sacrifice of our money, time, energy, desire, sleep, and sometimes tears. Now, your parents are far from perfect. I can say that assuredly. Your parents can be selfish. They can lose their temper. They can sin against you in various ways. I think I can also say confidently that your parents do love you and they are doing what they can to take care of you. Adults would have more money, less worries, more time, and certainly more sleep if they didn't have kids. Now let me be clear, kids. You are worth far more than anything we ever give up for you. And we are happy to give these things up for you. But you should be thankful for your parents who work hard to provide for and protect you. Food, clothing, a home, these things don't just magically appear. So children, honor your father and mother as you show respect, as you obey, and as you give thanks. But why should you honor your father and mother? Why should you obey your parents? Well, Paul tells you. He says to obey your parents, for this is right, verse 1. It means this is the natural, fitting, proper response of kids to parents. You do it because it's the right thing to do. However, Paul means more than it's just generally good. He means it's right, it's good, because this is what God tells you to do. God is the one who determines what's right and wrong. This is why Paul immediately follows the command by articulating the fifth commandment. Now notice also that Paul tells kids to obey their parents in the Lord. Think, what does that mean? Well, it means first that this is Christian, spirit-filled obedience. Kids, this phrase, in the Lord, confirms that in Paul's mind, you children of believers are members of the church. You are those who belong to Jesus. But in the Lord is really the same as saying as to the Lord. So if you look back in chapter 5, when Paul tells wives to submit to their husbands, he tells them to do it as to the Lord. And that means your obedience is always ultimately obedience to God. So kids, when you obey your parents, you're doing more than just obeying mom and dad. You are obeying God. Learning to obey your parents then is learning how to be a Christian, how to be a follower of Jesus. And kids, do you know that even Jesus submitted to and obeyed his parents? And Jesus was in a unique category where your parents are imperfect and you're imperfect. Jesus had imperfect parents while he was perfect, and yet he obeyed. You remember the story of when Jesus' mom and dad can't find him, and they eventually do find him, and he's in the temple. And when they ask him, "Where have you been?" he says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house," meaning his heavenly Father's house. And yet, right after that, we read, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them." Jesus submitted to his parents. So obedience to parents is really obedience to God. But our obedience to God comes above all else. Which means if you're parents ever told you to do something that the Bible says is wrong, you couldn't do it. You are God's child before you're their child. But even then, if you had to disobey to obey God's word, you still need to be respectful. You still need to honor them. If Christians must ever disobey the earthly authorities that God has placed over them, whether parents or husbands or employers or governments, because those authorities are commanding what God forbids or commanding something outside their sphere of authority, then Christians must disobey in a way that still honors that authority, meaning they do so in a way that affirms their desire to submit, even though they must firmly commit to obeying God above all else. So kids, you obey because this is right, meaning it is what God commands, and you obey because you are ultimately obeying God. But you not only obey because it is good, you obey because it is good for you. Now, let me try and convince you of that, because you're probably a little skeptical. Notice that Paul emphasizes that the fifth commandment comes with a very specific promise. Paul summarizes the promise this way: that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, God, of course, demands our obedience. But you notice he doesn't say, "Honor your father and mother or else." He actually says, "Honor your father and mother, because things will go really well for you." He gives you a promise. And that promise is a full, abundant life. Now, ultimately, that life is eternal life. But it's more specifically saying it's generally going to go well for you on earth when you obey your parents. And that shouldn't be surprising. God has given us earthly authorities, including parents, for our good, for our provision, and for our protection. And so when we rebel against the good that God has given us, we venture into danger. But when we embrace it, then we are embracing the good that God has for us. The Westminster Larger Catechism explains this reason attached to the promise this way. It says it is an express promise of long life and prosperity, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good, to all such as keep this commandment. And you'll notice that qualification, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good, which means God may have good reasons for taking children younger in life or ordaining certain hardships for them. So this isn't a promise that you'll live to be 100 years old. It isn't necessarily a promise, oh, life is going to be really easy for you. But the general principle remains, even though there are exceptions. The more you obey your parents, the better things will go. And kids, don't you see that? Doesn't a day go a lot smoother when you're doing what your parents ask you, and the whole day is not caught up with just fighting and arguing? You're happier, they're happier. So kids, obey your parents because things will go better for you when you do. So you need to see God's commands are not to keep you from good things. They are to keep you for good things. To obey is to stay in the land of God's blessing. But hopefully, kids, you can begin to see that obeying your parents is about much more than just miserable rule following. It's not just your parents trying to control you or ruin your life or take away all your fun. The fifth commandment really is about laying the foundation for love. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, think about this with me. Christians often talk about the two tables of the law, referring to the Ten Commandments as divided between the first four commandments and the last sixth commandments. The first four commandments deal more directly with how we relate to God. You have no other gods before Him. You do not make or worship graven images. You don't take the Lord's name in vain. You honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's all how do we relate directly to God. The last six deal more directly with how do we relate to one another then? Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. You could summarize these two tables then as Jesus does when he talks about the two great commandments. He doesn't just pull these out of thin air. He's summarizing the Ten Commandments in its two parts. The first four commandments are all about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The last six commandments are all about love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment, then, have no other gods before me, is the foundational commandment for the first table. The fifth commandment is the foundational commandment for the second table. So honoring your father and mother is not just learning how to obey, it is learning how to love your neighbor as yourself. It is setting the foundation upon which the love of neighbor is built. This also means that the commandment begins with, but is not limited to, obeying parents. Christians throughout the ages, including the Reformers and the Puritans, understood that father and mother is not limited to natural parents, but encompasses, as the larger catechism says, all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as, by God's ordinance, are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. So the commandment specifies fathers and mothers because the parental relationship is the first and most fundamental relationship that shapes all other relationships. But in this relationship with our parents, as one pastor explains, we learn what it is to have someone in authority over us, to listen to people, to honor them, and to do things that we sometimes don't want to do. So learning how to submit to your state, learning how to submit to church leadership, all of this begins in the home as you learn to submit to your parents. So the family structure is crucial for church and societal structures. If we don't learn authority and submission in the home, then churches and societies are going to break down. As St. Augustine said, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone else he will spare? In other words, you're not learning to obey your parents. You are just going to be a miserable person who doesn't listen to anybody. Calvin says, nature itself ought in a way to teach us this. Those who abusively or stubbornly violate parental authority are monsters, not men. Parents, this means if we are neglecting godly discipline in the home, then we are simply raising little monsters and not men. And I would warn societies that attempt to tear down the nuclear family are actually working toward their own demise. You destroy the home, you will destroy society. The point, however, is that obeying parents is laying the foundation for love in our hearts. It's helping us learn how to love our neighbors. But as I've already said, this is ultimately obedience to Christ. It is therefore also teaching us how to love Him. Loving your neighbor flows from loving God. And we must remember Jesus' words. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And then he states explicitly what his commandment is. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So kids, learning Christian obedience is learning Christian love. Love for God and love for your neighbor. But what does this Spirit-filled obedience practically look like? I'm just going to close here with five practical ways you can love and obey your parents in a way that loves and obeys God. I didn't come up with all of these. I modified these from others that I've heard before. So we might say, what does this Spirit-filled obedience look like, kids? Well, first, Spirit-filled obedience is cheerful and it is immediate. In other words, when your parents tell you to do something or stop something, you respond, yes, mom, yes, dad. You don't cross your arms. You don't go on the floor and start howling. You don't start arguing. You respond immediately, yes, and you do it. And ideally, you do it cheerfully. Don't argue, grumble, or throw a tantrum. If you have a clarifying question, you may feel free to ask. If you have a complaint, let me suggest, obey first, then make your complaint. Your parents want to listen to you, but it will go better if you have listened to them first. Now, as you get older and you move out of the house, obedience starts to look different. The Bible gives us the principle of leaving and cleaving. There is eventually a time that we leave the authority of our parents. So for adult children, honoring father and mother is no longer absolute obedience, but it still includes respect and gratitude. So it's cheerful. It's immediate. Yes, mom. Yes, dad. Second, Spirit-filled obedience, as I've already talked about, is thankful. Kids, do you have any idea how happy it would make your parents if even every once in a while you just gave them a hug and said, thank you? When they make you a meal, you say, thank you. Not, what else do you have? As you get older and become more aware of all that they're doing for you, I did not realize all my parents did for me when I was actually living in their home. But as you get older and become more aware of this, you should have all the more reason to say thank you. For those who have grown up, moved out, maybe you have kids of your own and you really understand all that goes into raising kids, can I just encourage you, not just on Mother's and Father's Day, if your parents are still alive, call them up every once in a while and just say, I just want to say thank you again. So it's cheerful and immediate. It's thankful. Third, Spirit-filled obedience is repentant. Meaning, let's be honest, we're not always going to obey. Sometimes we're going to obey, but we're going to do it grumbling or arguing. Thankfully, repentance is part of the gospel, as we learned this morning. So when you see your sin, when you see that you've grumbled, that you've disobeyed, that you've been resentful in your heart, you learn to say, I'm sorry. As we learned this morning, confession is a regular habit for the Christian. And kids, you need to learn this at a young age. And parents, you need to teach your kids repentance by modeling it for them. When you sin against your kids, you need to say, I'm sorry. And kids, true repentance is not just saying the words. It is a matter of the heart, feeling true sorrow and hatred for your sin and turning from it. Fourth, Spirit-filled obedience is proactive. By this, I mean, kids, that you should learn to look for ways to help. Don't always wait for your parents to tell you to clean your room or to help with the laundry. Start looking for ways that you can serve. Telling your parents that you love them and are thankful for them is wonderful, but proactively helping and serving sometimes speaks even louder. And for those, again, who are grown up and out of the house, continue to look for ways to serve your parents. As they get older, this may include caring for their needs. It may mean taking them to doctor's appointments or taking them grocery shopping. It might mean finding good long-term care for them, or perhaps even bringing them into your home. The command to honor may eventually include protecting and providing for your parents as they did for you when you were little. And fifth, spirit-filled obedience is relational. When kids are little, usually they naturally want to spend time with their parents. And kids, this is a good thing. Your parents want to spend time with you too. Parents and children should enjoy one another, play with one another, read with one another, just snuggle up on the couch together. But as kids get older, this desire often wanes to some degree. So teenagers, let me speak specifically to you. Spend time with your parents. This is a way to honor them. And again, adults, call your mom and dad and talk to them. Say, I just want to see how you're doing. If you happen to live in the area, go visit them from time to time. This is a relationship that changes over time, but it does not disappear. We must remember this is all about love. So there are just five practical ways that you can obey your parents and honor your father and mother. But as I close, let me close with this exhortation. Don't forget about grace. Grace and obedience in the gospel are not opposed. They are never separated. So kids, honor your father and mother, but do so trusting in the grace of Jesus Christ. When you break this command, confess your sin, and he will forgive you. And know that Jesus did perfectly obey his parents, and his obedience counts as yours. Christian obedience, including the obedience of children to parents, is spirit-filled, and it is grace-fueled. Parents, you need to remember this too. Be patient with your kids as they learn how to love and obey. Be gracious with your children. Discipline them, but do so in the light and love of the gospel. For we've all sinned as children. For those of us who are parents, we have sinned as parents. But praise be to God that the blood of Christ cleanses parents and children from all their sin. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would continue to teach all of us how to honor those that you have put in authority over us, especially our moms and dads. Pray that as we learn how to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves. Give grace to the parents here at Good Shepherd to keep in raising their children in the instruction of the Lord. Give grace to the kids here at Good Shepherd that they would learn how to obey their parents, how to honor their father and mother, trusting that it will go well for them when they do. So, Father, in all of these things, we ask for more grace. We ask for more of Jesus. We ask for more of your Holy Spirit, that we may be filled with the Spirit and all that that entails. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.